since we could teach them all in a concentrated time for 3 days, and in those 3 days accomplished more than what we could accomplish in 3 months in a circuit riding form of ministry. It was in the first of these spiritual Bible retreats in the Florida zone that a young man, Raymond, was saved. Raymond quickly became a disciple of mine, and about a year later, when his high school closed due to the civil unrest happening throughout Cameroon, he joined my Bible Institute. In the first year to year and a half of Raymond's Christian life, he nearly single-handedly started a church in his village of Katoya. Raymond later suffered a brain aneurysm, and after a long struggle with that, passed on to glory. But his short Christian life was a testimony of the multiplication type of ministry that we are burdened to see God do again and again throughout Cameroon.
We are thankful for the opportunities we have had to help those in need through your support. Many times we have been able to help people get to the hospital and pay for their hospital bills. This has saved lives and opened up doors for the gospel. Some have come to salvation. Twice we took a child into our care. We took little Endurance Simeon in for 2 months in 2016 after giving him medical aid that saved his life. Then, in November 2017, we took Little Miracle into our care at 5 weeks of age. We have since adopted her as our own daughter. We now call her Maria Grace. She is a bright and cheerful little girl. We hope to be able to finish her immigration paperwork soon and bring her over for the rest of our furlough.
Hello. My name is Maria Grace.
In October 2016, just one short year after arriving in Cameroon, I opened Vision Bible Institute with 4 initial students. 2 of those students continued through to the end of the training, and by God's grace, they continue the ministry that we began, encouraging the 4 zone churches of Apia. The Bible Institute was almost cut short by the Anglophone crisis. The crisis began simply as strikes and protests against the government, but the protests turned violent and the violence escalated into a guerrilla-type warfare by October of 2017. At that time, our area was overrun by separatist fighters. Since we were in remote rainforest villages, the military could not safely come into the area. That meant that we were safe from open battles. But we had to adapt to a new environment, one that was under the control of demonically influenced freedom fighters. We also had to be very careful about going to town and also be ready to stay put, or possibly even flee across the border into Nigeria. Thankfully, it never got to that point. But we did face many dangerous situations with the freedom fighters. The most memorable of these dangers was when the neighboring village of Abu began fighting and rioting over their chieftaincy disagreement. Their former chief had died, and his supporters accused the other party of killing him through witchcraft. Normally, the government would have mediated the situation, but they could not come because of the separatist fighters in the area. Those fighters instead themselves came to deal with the violence of the Mbu. Unfortunately, they only took a side in the conflict and continued burning the village and torturing their opponents. I ended up in the middle of the situation because I preached at the late chief's funeral. I tried to mediate for the release of those who were being falsely accused and tortured. There was great risk in my actions, but I was finally able to free 4 of the accused and took them to the hospital for treatment. The other one, unfortunately, was mercilessly killed. In October 2018, we did finally have to pack a few bags and evacuate out of Akwaya for the last time. Our new co-worker, Charles Wesker, was killed in the conflict at that time, and we decided we could no longer continue in the dangerous areas. The miracle of the Mbu conflict is that afterwards, I was given the opportunity to come in and speak to the people. They apparently thought that I wanted to have a meeting so that I could give them all money to rebuild their village. That misunderstanding made most of the people who were present in the village attend the meeting. Imagine their shock, though, when instead of giving them money, I preached through a list of the sins of Mbu. Almost no one came back the next time, but a small Bible study did continue. A few months after our departure from Akwa, I was surprised to hear that that group was continuing on and several have been baptized by the leaders in Akwa. A church had been born. In fact, during our 3 years in Akwa, Four churches were started that are continuing on to this day. I already told you of Mbu and Ketoya, Raymond's village. The other two new churches were in the villages of Oboni and Kekpani. Those were beautiful stories of the advance of Christ's kingdom, and they seem to be continuing on very well by God's grace. After we left Opoya, we moved to the French regions of Cameroon with the hope of learning French so that we can continue our church planting ministry in other areas. We were helped tremendously in those early days by our friends and co-laborers, Pastor Godlove and Maureen, and l'Église Baptiste Fondamentale de Bafia, or Fundamental Baptist Church of Bafia. There we were able to continue ministering in English while we started learning French. It was this church in Bafia that enabled us to reopen Vision Bible Institute in October 2019. We assisted three students to come out of Akwaya by paying their transport, feeding, and housing expenses. Two of them were from the original group of four students, and we were able to help them complete the entire course of study we laid out. We were thrilled to finish the task we had begun in Akwaya. Peter and Harry, the two graduates, continue to shepherd not only their own church in Akwa, but the entire group of churches in the forest zone of Akwaya. After living in Bafia for 18 months, we moved to the Bafasam area for 3 months to help encourage a new church being started by Pastor Ernest. This past July, we moved again to Yaoundé to assist a brand new church which was started by our friends Seth and Caitlin Fokers. This new church is English speakers for now, though we hope that it will soon be a truly bilingual church. For now, our future ministry is not very clear. Our current task is to study and master the French language. Once we acquire this language, we will be able to minister nearly anywhere that God may lead us in Cameroon.
Let me just mention up front that the scenes of freedom fighters there in the video are not taken by me. I took those off the internet. And as foreigners, we try to stay out of either side of the conflict. But some of the pictures of burning villages, I actually did take those when I was mediating that conflict in Mbu. But the other ones are not me, not from me. And then let me also say we are so thankful for you and for your continual support. And we are really thankful we were able to come in early on Friday so we could be with you all yesterday. We got to spend so much more time and really feel like we could get the heartbeat of your own ministry and feel so much closer to you all through that. And we're so thankful for that. So thank you for having us in early. I'm going to give real quick a few things that I know some people will ask about, and then I'll open it up for questions. So if you think about any questions you may have. But let me just mention the coronavirus. We never really had that many cases in Cameroon, and it took a while to get in there. And Cameroon kind of, it seemed like they just kind of followed the Western nations, and they did lock down their borders, and they put out mask regulations and such forth. But then after a little while, they realized some of their regulations were hurting their economy. They slackened those. And recently, they've began to let some international travel happen, but within limited categories. So we were able to go in and out because of our residency status there. but the average person trying to get a visa to go in will be denied simply because of closed borders. And so that's allowed us to come back here. And then our daughter, and you saw a picture of her there. She is a joy and a privilege to be raising up. She's just turned 3 on the day that we left Cameroon, and we could not yet take her, but everything is done on the Cameroonian side. She's fully adopted. We have her passport. All that stuff is done. We're now just simply waiting on the U.S. immigration process, and we really don't know how much longer that'll take. We're 6 months into the wait now for that, and we've heard nothing back from them so far. And we know it's just sitting in a stack of applications. And once they get to it, it might be a couple weeks, and then a couple more weeks on the embassy side of things, and we could be bringing her over. So any day, or maybe half a year from now, we're not sure. So we're just waiting on that. Let me mention, in the video, you saw a number of pictures of the Bible Institute students. If you remember, several of those times you saw one lady in that group, and that was the wife of one of our graduates, Brother Harry. And just this morning, she, through operation, gave birth to their first child together. And so a healthy baby, not an easy delivery, I guess, for her, but she's apparently has come out fine on that. And so we're celebrating with them for their first daughter. So, any other questions? There's so many things we could talk about, and I'd like to know what you all are interested in. Yes, ma'am. Okay, from the theft that we endured in February of 2019, how have we been able to recover? It was challenging. We lost all of our data whatsoever, and putting together this video was quite the task, trying to find the people and online sources where we could recover some of those things. So we've, up to today, still facing some challenges recovering some of those things. The Bible Institute notes that I lost, the data there, I was able to have my students bring out my files and books from the village, from my house there in the village. And then I had to either retype them or scan them or just redevelop the notes based off of what I had available from that. So it took a lot of time, a lot of hours to recover some of that. And some of the classes I haven't obviously had to reteach yet. So that's still pending, but I was able to recover some of it through the hard copy that way. Let me say before our next question, the doors in Cameroon for the gospel have been really wide open. This crisis that they're facing with the English sections of the country wanting to secede from the nation has really slowed down the opportunities of the gospel. It seems to be a spiritual battle. Besides that fact, anyone could go into Cameroon at any time with any talents, so long as you love people and are willing to just spend time with them, and you'd have open doors. You could go into the schools. In most of the schools, it would not take a lot of effort to get into them, and hundreds of students. And you could maybe do a soccer outreach, as we've seen the church enjoy soccer. You could do literacy classes, because there's a huge trouble with literacy. You can do like we do, and you can go out and do evangelistic meetings for a week long, and then follow up with those and disciple those people and train them at establishing churches. There's so many ways to get involved in the ministry when you can be in the English areas. Right now, there's also a lot of English-speaking people that have been dispersed into other harsh portions of the country, which we can get into. But in that case, you're sifting through the population, trying to find ones you can speak to. So we've been learning French and working on that. We're at an intermediate level now where we can communicate with basic needs, market and taxis. There's something that we've dealt with a lot in the capital. And so we're comfortable with those things. But as soon as they begin talking about the things of life, we're listening intensely, trying to catch everything that they're saying. So we still have a ways to go on that. But even in some of the cities, there are places where you could go as an English speaker. That is, there's neighborhoods where the English people have congregated, and there's a lot more of them there. And you would encounter French people as well. but you could actually go around in those neighborhoods and just be a witness. So there's wide open opportunities there in Cameroon. We have another question. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll return to Cameroon. We're just here for 6 weeks and we're already almost 2 weeks into that time. So we're going back in about a month and a half. And that would be the 3rd of December is when we plan to leave. So, and the shortness of that time is because of having to leave our daughter behind. She's with Sarah's parents during this time. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, Pastor. Yeah, the villages we've been working in have been incredibly remote. So he asked about the airplane and what necessitated the use of the airplane. Sarah's father is a pilot, and he has, right now, personally, has two bush planes that can get out into very short strips, about 400 yards and upward. He can land on those. And because of the nature of the area we've been working in, there's very little as far as government roads, or almost nothing. And then you encounter rivers, and you can spend days on the trail trekking to get to where you want to go. So the airplane can come from their place in the next, in the neighboring state, over into where we're at working in 30 minutes. And that helps either getting there, it also helps as an emergency exit situation in case of sickness, injury, or the crisis. We used the airplane a lot when it was safe for him to fly in and out, and that really helped us getting in and out. Transportation has been really one of our biggest challenges financially, and it's just a day-to-day challenge getting around. So we have lots of adventures with traveling that we could tell about. I have a video, maybe I'll show that to you all at this time. It's just about 3 minutes long. But we might be the airplane, that save us a lot of time, but you can't always use that, and there's only so many airfields, so we often will be on the road either with four-wheel drive vehicles, sometimes with little Chinese-made motorcycles that are common in the area, and then eventually just get out on foot and keep going, because there are villages that there is no access to whatsoever unless you went by helicopter and landed in their school field. And so the challenge of transportation. Do we have that video? Thank you. in the rainforests of Acquia, and we love that area. We've been missing it for the last 2 years, but that's what it takes to get around out there day to day. And that was, you saw us crossing those rivers when they weren't really that high, but a couple more months into the year, and they just become raging. That one that you saw us in the canoe, we got swept down that river once with the canoe, with the motorcycle in the canoe, and spun out of control, and the current just had us for a little while. We finally pull out of it, go and hang on the branches on the side. And even at the edge of the river, when I stepped out to try to handle the canoe, the water was over my head at the edge of the river. And then the current was still strong there. So we struggled with that canoe for probably 20 minutes to get it up the bank and onto a place where it could beach it. The other place where you saw us going across the stream with the motorcycle, with me driving across, that one could also get raging above my head, the height of that one. And one time we were crossing that with our little, he was still a puppy then, our little mixed lab dog there. And he was Sarah's dog, and he loved Sarah. So when the current started carrying him, he just pointed his nose at Sarah and tried to swim to her, which is directly against the current, instead of the smart dog, which would just go across and land and then walk up the bank to her. So I literally had to go down, and then when the water got over my head, then I had to swim and bring his dog back myself. So we had lots and lots of adventures out in the forest. We loved that area. The Lord taught us so much about getting around. We went out there quite, quite green in that sense of knowing how to deal with those mud roads and such. But the Lord taught us a lot, and we really got used to that area. So, any other questions? Yes, Pastor. Okay. Yeah, when we got it started, there were four members. One added in quickly after that, but he wasn't really ready for it. He ended up having to get disciplined out of the church soon after that. So we had four for a while. We started that 1 year after arrival, the fall of 2017. A year later, we added another new student, which is Raymond, that we highlighted in the video. And then it balanced out around four until we left Acquia. When we left Acquia, it was a year until we could get it going again. And we ended up renting single, like, studios in the town that we were at and housed the students. So it was mostly all on our expense. And I told them, I said, this is totally backwards, but recognizing the situation, we're going to do this and get this program finished. And so we brought three students out from Acquia plus Harry's wife that I mentioned earlier, and they came, and then about, was it four other students from other ministries around the northwest of Cameroon came as well and stayed with us, and we were able to take them through 1 year of our institute that way. And then at the end of that, the two that had started at the beginning, I was able to graduate them. And then I told them it's not my purpose and my goal to be just a Bible Institute teacher, and that's not my main ministry. So I'm doing that to finish the work that we began with church planting and get those guys established. So I said, I'm not going to continue it on for all of you new ones that have just joined us. But Brother Seth Folkers, one of our co-workers there in Cameroon, that is his ministry. He is focused on training up nationals and taking the training to them if possible. So before, he was traveling around and doing institute classes and centers where a number of churches could gather together, and he would teach for a week, go to another place and do the same thing. That area is shut down, so now he is going to restart that Bible Institute in January and house the students with himself. He's got a triplex rented where they can stay in the same property, and then they'll continue on with the Bible Institute. So let's continue on. Saw a question back there. Provisions from America? Okay, so the question is whether we're able to take provisions from America and then what our needs would be. Yes, we do have a couple ways. One is we try to do most of it just through our luggage in the airplane, in the commercial airline. But then we do also have a Cameroonian man in Maryland who ships containers that we've made contact with and use frequently. And you can pay per box or per barrel or per vehicle. You'll ship a vehicle over. We're fairly well established, so we don't have any major needs right now of things that we need to take over. And then the delay of that container, we usually end up finding it if we search long enough, something that will be compatible or work there right now. One thing that we're searching for, and this is just a small thing, we have a gravity water filter system. We filter all of our water. And so we're looking for a container with a spigot on the end, much like an igloo container or something, but we'd like something stainless steel. So that's one thing that we're looking for. But otherwise, I'm not aware that we don't really have a lot of needs right now. We've either already gotten it over there, or we've just adapted to the culture and we're hanging in there. So. Mm-hmm. Pastor, what time am I supposed to end? Okay. All right, we have about 10 minutes. Yes, sir. Yes, in fact, we have two mosques on our street, and one of them is just three doors away. And when we first moved there, 4:30 in the morning, the call to prayer goes off, and terrified our daughter, and then us, waking up. But we got used to it. We sleep right through it now. But about one third of the nation identifies as Muslim, and a lot of those are the Fulani tribe, which my in-laws all speak their language. They've learned that language, and my sister-in-law is actively translating the scriptures into their language. And so it's been a very slow ministry. Their identity, their culture is wrapped up with that. It's all as a unit. So they identify that if to be Fulani is to be Muslim. And so if they're going to become a follower of Jesus, and especially if they're going to get baptized and actually join a local church, they often will be persecuted to varying degrees, including deadly degrees, but ostracized from their family and such forth. So it's challenging for them. But the Lord, I believe at some point the Spirit of God is going to break through for them, and a unit will come out of that group as a local church on their own, really to be a cultural church, I think, probably, rather than being fully integrated with the other tribes. So. All right. This is Lundy. In that area, yes, the schools are actually taught in English. So most people can get along with English, but it's much more effective for them if you can speak Pidgin English, which has a lot of English words mixed in, but it's a totally different language. As it's officially its own language. It developed over like 400 years of time. And I think that it's shifting more and more into English because of the education systems and stuff. But it has French words mixed in, it has Portuguese words mixed in, and local tribal words. And so most of our outreach is done through Pidgin English in those areas. Most of our outreach in the future in the other areas will be done in French. So that's been our focus of learning now. The Pidgin English, of course, Sarah knew it growing up since she grew up in Cameroon. And then for myself, I learned it very rapidly in my first year there. I began to preach with a group that had learned my accent and stuff. I began to preach them without an interpreter in about 3 months. And so the main thing with that language is you learn the tense markers so you know how to form past tense, future, whatnot. And then you can just plug in the English words and then gradually learn the rest of the vocabulary as you go. So, okay. Any other questions? I don't want to miss people that haven't gotten a chance. Yes, Pastor. Well, it's... there's a mixture on that of what the situation really is. We've actually had an entire container of Bibles given by Bearing Precious Seed, and we've been able to use those during our outreaches to get the Word of God into their hands. Nigeria next door prints Bibles, and so they can get them English ones through there. In the French region, I really haven't found good sources yet, though people do have Bibles. They're mostly in the Louis Singold translation, which we prefer the Osterwald translation, And so there's a challenge with that. You have the quality, but the Louisian gold is completely accepted throughout the French-speaking area. So it's really hard to know what to do on that. We're waiting actually on a ministry that's translating, a Bible society that's translating the Bible again into French. We think that their philosophy will produce a good copy. And so we're waiting. We don't know how long that'll be, but we're hoping that'll come out. It's a good option for us in French. A good quality copy of the Bible, like I have a leather-bound one, and just the binding that lasts is really a challenge. So I've been able to purchase through Christian Books online and then have people bring them over in their suitcases so that people that are at that level where they love the Word of God enough to pay for a Bible, I can provide that to them at cost, at a sale cost. I always buy the ones on sale and then get a good King James Bible that way. So. All right. Yes, sir. Way in the back. Yeah, the majority of them identify as Christian. Catholicism is the largest of those categories. And sorry, the question was, what does the rest of the country identify as besides Muslim? So a lot of them, it would be Catholic. I think after that would be Presbyterian. But there's this huge surge of this Pentecostal, this modern Pentecostal flavor of Christianity that's come in. So lots of dancing, lots of shouting, lots of slain in the spirit and all that stuff. And so there's a lot of that. But despite the fact that they identify as Christians, you get into their lifestyle, you get into their real beliefs when they have someone sick in the family, when there's a death. When you get into what the heart of their culture is, they're actually animists in that they worship and follow the and fear the spirits. And a lot of that would be their ancestors. They'll do charms, they'll maybe do a sacrifice to their ancestors to keep them off their back, to keep them pleased and happy. And so there's a lot of that going on. When we were doing an outreach, I had a whole group of Americans with me in 2015. I brought that up during one of our morning team devotions and said, okay, this is something we need to be aware of and be active. And some of the men that I highly respect from my home church, deacons, they said, that's not a problem here, is it? Because they've been there for some time, some days, and they hadn't seen anything. I said, it's there. It's just maybe such a commonplace thing that you don't even notice it until you know that that's a charm or that's something that they put there to protect their house. And so when you have a birth, there's a certain plant that they'll put a spread across the door so that anyone walking has to go across that plant. And it's somehow supposed to protect them when there's a death, etc. It's all over. So they're actually animists, even maybe less so, but it would play into some of the Muslim people as well. So. Okay, we have time maybe for one or two more questions. Yes, ma'am. Population would be around 25 million, I think, 23 million. In the past, about 5 years ago when I studied that, if you brought Cameroon population and territory into the United States, it would become the third largest state, both by population and by land mass. It's almost equivalent to California by land mass. So. Anyone else? I miss someone that's a question. Okay, and that wraps it up. Okay, yes, sir. Depends on who you ask. We have many friends that have not left that area. And when I call them and ask, so how is this situation? Is it cooled down? And they'll say, yeah, it's cooling down. We don't, you know, only had gunshots once today. And I usually tell them, or I let it pass, but I just think to myself, that just means that you've gotten accustomed to it, not that it's actually cooling down. You ask our coworker who's left Cameroon and is working in the refugee camps, both for his own safety as well as to help those that have fled there. And his prayer letters say there is no sign of it ending anytime soon, and it's getting worse every day. That's how he puts it. So I'm not in there myself to get a direct thing, but just in the news, the last week or so, there was a massacre at one of the schools. Both parties are blaming the other one for it, but from my experience, I would say it's either a stage thing on the one side or else the other side. They don't like schools to get going simply because it looks like government and makes everything look good, like everything's going well. So they attack anything that's normal to make sure that everyone knows that there's still a problem. Okay, well, we'll be with you the rest of today, and if you have questions, feel free. We love questions. We'd love to get to know you more and talk to you more and help you understand our country better. Pastor, we'll turn it back over to you.
That is amazing. Think about literally risking your lives to get the gospel. And it's hard not to see some correlations with things that unrest and things that take place in our country. And praise the Lord, it hasn't gotten to that level. And it's sad. There's people are hurting and respond somewhere. So very good. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for your ministry over these past years and giving the gospel out. It's just very exciting to see so much being able to be accomplished. Getting the gospel seed and seeing that take off and begin to grow, and just in some sense, like we've done out here in the front of our yard, just throw out a bunch of grass seed and it starts coming up, and God's a part of it. He's making it happen. Others just need to see a whole team of people and just encourage all the way around. So very good. I hope you'll take your opportunities to get to know them and talk to them in between services, and Brother Glenn's going to be speaking this evening. And I hope you'll be back for that as well. So let's go ahead and close our Sunday school time with a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we just want to give you praise. Lord, we see that this world is broken. We see the product of sin and hatred and brutality and destruction. Lord, that is the direction that we go apart from you. And Lord, it is amazing that our lives are as tranquil, as peaceful as they are, Lord, and it's your grace. And it's been through the power of the gospel, Lord, wherever your word has gone, wherever your kingdom has been preached, Lord, it has borne the blessed fruit of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for the Swansons and their ministry, and what fruit that you've been able to give and to them and their co-workers, and just the labor that they put in to train, to see others just take the gospel and start churches and others to respond to convicting messages and churches to be born. Lord, we just pray for your people. Lord, these are our brothers and sisters. And we'll be praising you around the throne with them. And Lord, we just pray that you would protect them. Lord, that you would make their gospel light effective, Lord, as they shine for you. And Lord, would you continue to fan the flame in the midst of this crisis, Lord, that the gospel spread. And Lord, would your power be seen. Lord, we don't understand, but it just seems as if when Satan seems like he's triumphing, you are doing the most to further your work. And so, Lord, we put our faith and trust in you and your powerful hand to work in this country, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for the Swansons that travel over these next 4 weeks. And we pray that you would give them safety on the road. Would you reunite them with their daughter? Would you just continue to use her in their lives? And would she be saved in early age, Lord? And would you just the whole picture of grace, Lord, to be adopted into your family and to have home and a heritage because of you. Lord, may we rejoice in who you are and what you've done for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed to fellowship.